Good morning, folks, and welcome. Good to be gathered together in the praise of God this morning. Welcome. Welcome to those of you who... good morning, Apichat. How are you? Good to see you. Very inconspicuously done, Apichat. That was well done. Welcome to those of us who are in the room this morning, but also those who are listening at a different time. It's great to be together. Shining the light of joy this Christmas is... So this Advent, this day on the third Sunday of Advent, we think about joy. And one of the things that we'll hear later on is that joy is something that was evident throughout the Scriptures. From the first page, and the other thing we discover is that, and we'll sing it in our first song this morning, is that again various people, Elijah, the prophets, all those were talking of a time that will come of great joy, yes, but a time that will come when all of God's people will gather, and of how God was unfolding God's plan of salvation. In the chorus, we'll hear a reference to the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, I think it says, Rosemary, the year of Jubilee. Of course, the year of Jubilee was this, it was lots of things, but one of the main focus of it was the time of beginning anew, when debts were forgiven, all kind of things, and that was a new beginning, really, the year of Jubilee. Lots of other things as well, but that's one thing that we're here, and we're able to celebrate that of God's new beginning for us. As we come, this call to worship is adapted from Joy to the World. We gather joyfully because the Lord is here among us and in every heart. As we prepare ourselves to make room for the Spirit, we join with heaven and nature to sing our praises. Our joy is repeated throughout creation. Growing fields, rushing rivers, mighty hills all proclaim God's arrival. We freely exchange our sorrows for blessings which are for all creation. Let truth and grace ring through all the world, wondering at love which is for all people, all nations, and all life itself. We worship God. We'll stand to sing.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert calling, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the day of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And though these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Shortly we'll light the Advent candle, our third candle, and just as we do that, I'll light the other two that we've had so far of hope and peace. And today we are mindful of joy. But also, as I've done the last few weeks, there's no one that I've particularly approached to light this third candle, so feel free to come forward if you would want to do that. These are some words from a resource by the Christmas Bowl. In the stillness of this place and of this moment, we light a third candle, a candle for joy. And so I invite someone to come forward and to light this pink candle. Thanks, Liz. Thank you. We light this candle of joy. May it be a sign to us of the joy that springs forth from the wells of salvation, and may it guide us in the way of Christ. As the light of this candle grows, so may the joy in our hearts shine, reflecting the goodness of our Creator. Amen. We share in a prayer, and during the prayer there'll be a few pauses along the way. We pray. Well, knowing God, we recognise today that we all bring our own lives and circumstances into this space. Whether we are joyful, excited for the coming festivities, or whether we are saddened by losses or unmet expectations as another year comes to a close, or whether we're somewhere in between, we still our hearts in your presence, knowing that you meet us exactly as we are. Well, we remember Jesus, whose life was open and available to all. And we're reminded of the times that we have cut ourselves off from others and have withheld our gifts from them. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. Lord, we remember the command of Jesus, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. And we're reminded of those times that we have turned our love inwards and you have used others for selfish ends. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. Lord, we remember the prompting of the Spirit of Christ to give ourselves for our neighbour. And we are reminded of the times that we have turned away from following Christ and of the times that we have silenced the voice of Christ that calls us. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us. Eternal God, by words seen in your Son and brought near by your Spirit, take from us what we need to carry no longer, so that we may be free again to serve you and to be served by each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. From 1 Peter chapter 2, we hear these words, that Christ used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of them, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going, but now you are named and kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. Hear then God's word of grace to us. It is in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, we know God's forgiveness and peace, and let us share that peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen.
Well, welcome to everybody here, and we have some special guests to welcome today. It's lovely to have Joan with her, Ruth, who's brought her, and Margaret. And I can't quite see who it is that's brought you. You're all very welcome. It's not as though you're new, but you're certainly visitors to us recently. And it's great to have Selma here again today. That's just lovely. Been a while since we've been able to see Selma. So that's very special, isn't it, when we can have people back again for Christmas. Yes, I think we should. We're very particular. We can report that Ian is now back in Tarry Bray, but very fragile, so we're not sure. But he brightens up a lot when there's a visit. If anyone has the time, that would be great. Bill is making progress slowly, but hopes to go to rehab next week and then maybe home for Christmas. He is trying to be a patient. David will be at coffee as usual at one table this Wednesday, but today is the last Sunday for donations to both Angel Tree, who will be delivering gifts to the family, the children of prisoners in at the moment, and then the other group, of course, is the Women's Refuge, and they also will be collecting during this week. So if you're very quick and you've forgotten to give anything that you want to give today or tomorrow, and you might just make it, but they are going to be collected. So that will be the end of that gathering of gifts. Courtney will be on leave from the 24th of December to the 6th of January and a little bit later, so look at your notices, but she will be here this week. And coming up tomorrow, we have a special occasion, a morning tea at one table for the Refresh volunteers. And if you read your reflections or you have a good look at the board, you'll see what wonderful things we've been able to do with the results of their efforts. And that's just fantastic for this year. Just a reminder, Christmas Day service is 8:30. The bulletin, unfortunately, has it in as 8 o'clock. I did check, I did send them the right time, but they have amalgamated all the church's times in a list, and I think easily one's gone wrong. But at least the people shouldn't be late if they arrive at 8, but we need to have some of us here then too, because they might go away again. So please help spread the word, and you can be quite confident. You might take one of those lovely little cards with the shine the light and give them to anybody that will put them in a letterbox or something. All right, and don't forget to put your envelope containing cash or your credit card details in the special bowl for Christmas bowl, but we'll be keeping that going until about mid-January, I think we usually do it, Coralie. So you've got plenty of time, so don't just write yourself a little note or something on your order of service if you're inclined to forget it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dawn, for that and for mentioning about Bill. And for some of us who might not know, Bill had a fall last week and has a fracture to his hip and has been in hospital since then. And I was able to visit him at the end of the week, and he's in reasonable spirits, kind of. And we'll pray for him. Wendy, do you want me to pray for Bill, or do you want to, if you include that in your prayers, or? Okay, great. Yeah, because I asked him, I said that we'd be able to pray for him if he was okay with that, and I knew that he would be, but it's good to ask these things. So please keep Bill and Jan in your thoughts and prayers, and indeed a number of other folk within the life of our congregation. Today we pause to recognise the contribution to the life and fellowship of this congregation of the Quiltabouts group, who have decided to bring their group to a close. A couple of them will still meet in an informal way. Margot was saying this morning, just every couple of weeks, and that will continue to happen, but in a very informal way. So it's appropriate that we mark that conclusion this morning, and I want to do that. Margot's written a few notes here, which I want to read, that gives some background. And then the appropriate time, I'll just ask some of the Quiltabouts folk just to come out to the front, but I'll do that shortly. So, Margot, how long has Quiltabouts been going? About 20 plus years, is that right? About that? I'll just read these notes from Margot here. This group was begun by Faye Foster early. Faye moved from Kenmore to Noosa. The group included, for example, Jill Hislop. Hang on, I'll take my glasses off so I can see a bit better here. The late Lynn and Vonya made some embroidered cards. Is that right? Yes, for that. Of course, Molly Millis, who is approaching her 100th year, not quite there, but getting close. Selma, who's over there this morning, and Daphne Henderson as well, the late Daphne, and lots of others too, and we'll just hear some reflection about that shortly as well. We made quilts which were raffled on card days, which attracted a large number of attendees. Later we were joined by Avon Moffat, an old army friend from PNG days. One evening at a women's fellowship meeting at our home, Avon spoke to us about her enactment of the Battle of Beersheba using local horses. And it's a great story, if you haven't heard that, about some of the things that Avon was a part of and some of her recollections. She was, yes, extraordinary horsewoman. Feel free to have a chat to Margot about that as well, a bit more about Avon and her work with horses. When Rob was, Margot's Rob, was a Rotary District Governor in 2004-05, arranged making raffle quilts to raise funds for Rotary projects, where $7,500 was raised. Camion and Church made three quilts to send to Trafalgar. How'd I go, Margot? Trafalgar, Victoria, following the bushfires there. Heather Dan Houghton. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So Heather organised for them to be delivered via Margot's son Scott, who works in Melbourne. That was the Black Friday bushfires. And I think it's that just that page, Margot? Yeah, let's have a look. Quarterback Group had ploughman lunches on Margot and Rob's balcony, celebrate birthdays, other special occasions. Quite a number of quilts were all professionally quilted by Will Hendricks, who did some extraordinary work. Funds raised for Camioning Church making raffle quilts and making appealing. So it had two requirements. One, that they were quite appealing quilts. And secondly, and for example, the one this year had an Indigenous theme to that. And then all selling some tickets for that. And so thanks very much for that, Marg. And I want to acknowledge that in some other ways as well. And so can I invite anyone who was a part of Quiltabouts just to come forward, if you're able to, just over here, that would be great. So if you had been a part of Quiltabouts in years gone by, not necessarily lately, but come forward. Thank you. And I think Selma as well. Good morning, Selma. It's great to see you. Welcome. Come on over. And there's very much a sense that each of you come representative of many people across the years who have found in Quiltabouts a place where they could enjoy their interest in stitching, sewing, all kinds of things, quilting, yes, cross-stitch. I know, Joycelyn, you were doing some cross... How am I going with my... It was cross-stitch, wasn't it? Yes. How's that going, by the way? Is that almost done? Yes. Joycelyn was working with horses and it's taken her for, I think she was a young girl when she started, I think, but it was Yes. It's just this beautiful piece of extraordinary work, and that's, my guess is that the work done in Quiltabouts was more than the pieces of fabric and the stitching. It was about support, conversation, companionship, all kinds of things, and fellowship. And we looked at that word a bit more closely a few months ago, this word fellowship, this word koinonia, this deep sense of community that's centred in Christ, and I suspect that Quiltabouts was that as much as the actual fabric and stitching. On many occasions, it was also about acts of service and kindness, and we've heard a little bit about that in the words from Margot about projects that were worked on, either individually as a group for the work of this congregation, or I suspect individual ones too, that were used and given to someone else. What's that old song that goes, "Weave us together, Lord, weave us together with cords that cannot be broken"? And I think that picks up on something of the essence of Quiltabout, I suspect, of being woven together and the fellowship. Within those hours of cutting, patching and chatting, friendships were strengthened, burdens were shared and spiritual support was given. The hands that created quilts and other items were also hands that served and sustained each other. So to each of you, to those who were the remaining members of Quiltabouts, we thank you for the contribution to this congregation and to many other people, and for the legacy that you are leaving behind you. And that will continue on into the future, that legacy. I don't want to get too deep here, but when it comes to patchwork quilts, I think there's something for us to learn about the different pieces coming together with their own unique characteristics and colour and styles to ultimately make something beautiful, not only for the eye to marvel at, but also that is practical and useful. And I think we do well to reflect upon that imagery in light of who we are as the church. Together, we are much more than what we are by ourselves. I'm going to say a prayer. Lord our God, in these few brief moments, as we acknowledge the service and ministry and fellowship of Quiltabouts, we give you thanks for this group that has met together for many, many years, and for each of those gathered here this morning that represent a vast number of people who have walked in the door either at the community centre or at Margot's or various places to share together in this creative way. I pray for your blessing upon those gathered here and of that which lays ahead, and giving you thanks for them. Let your blessing rest upon them now in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Please take a seat. Oh, there we go, Margot. I'll give that back to you. Thank you. Thanks, Vaughn. So we're really in this part of the service where we're sharing some things of our life together as a community, whether that be Quiltabouts, being mindful of Bill and others. Want to mention briefly again about the Blue Christmas service that we held here on Wednesday night. And there would have been of us here, I suppose, something like that. And from a few different backgrounds, certainly some from regular part of the congregation, but others not so. And an opportunity just to pause amongst the preparations for this, for the festivities of Christmas, and to acknowledge that not everyone has a sense of being able to join in the celebrations of that because of loss or difficulty or some particular experience of life for them. And so it was, I think, a meaningful way to be able to acknowledge that. Any particular comments from anyone beyond what I've said about that? The people who came were very appreciative of that, and yeah. Dawn was just saying there was a moment where we sang, because the only thing we sang was Silent Night, and Rosemary played piano for us, and Dawn was just saying it was a very special moment amongst those of us who were gathered there. So thanks, Dawn. The following morning, Thursday morning, there was a number of us who went down to the kindy, and this was something that I know Wendy and I met with Emma, who's the director of the kindy, I don't know, May or something like months ago. And part of that was to offer this event, to join with them at the end of the year in some kind of celebration. And really to do that, but also as a way of making some connection, another kind of connection with the kindy. And here's a photo from some of them, from some of that, and I'm hoping someone else can, those of us who are there, could make some comments about it. Do you want to comment about this, Wendy? And there was Wendy, myself, Rosemary, Dawn, Andrew, and Courtney came down as well and took some photos. Who else? I think that was it. Yeah.
Is this one on, Andrew? Thanks. Yeah, we went down, and I've always been an upper school teacher, so anything under the age of 9 is an anathema. But the kids were great. We only took a small number of people, so we didn't overwhelm them. David read Wombat Divine, a lovely Mem Fox nativity, not quite Christmassy nativity book. The kids, Robert and I, reminiscent of ages past, cut out 24 wombat faces. And after reading the book and talking about the colours, they coloured their wombat masks, and you can tell why little girls do better at school early on rather than little boys, because the girls were really particular and some of the boys went, what's next? And there are a number of people up the back in that corner there that would understand that. Because it's a kindy, we don't have photo, we're not allowed take photos. The masks serve the other purpose of masking their faces. So we have a before shot and an after shot. David was an excellent, excellent reader. And the kids were great. The next day, can I jump in then? The next day, David wasn't able to, but the children then came up here, and all these presents that are under the tree, so they had collected for the giving tree, and they also then collected some food for the women's shelter, so that's now on the seats. And in small groups we talked about the nativity, and you know, why is the angel sitting on that white stuff? It's a cloud, angels live in the sky. But it was a very positive interaction with the kindy. And Emma reminded me that any time we liked, people could go down and read with the kids. So thank you, David. That, I think, was a great initiative, yep. And it worked really well.
Yeah, excellent.
I've got masks if anyone wants one to colour in. They're spare.
Yeah. Thanks, Wendy. Great. And it was a great occasion. And to be able to follow that up the next day here is brilliant as well, to be able to get some of the, for some of the children to come up into this space. It was a wonderful thing. And a step along the way, I think, folks, a step along the way. And thank you very much to those who came. All of us, I think, stepped in there with maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit of trepidation, I'm not sure, but it was a great morning. And thanks, Wendy, too, for being here on Friday morning as well. Much appreciated. Here we go. Divine intervention, yes, I don't know. Oh, that's, Wendy said, oh, send me some selfies from what I was doing on Sunday afternoon and night. I made it to the last day of the cricket, which the night before I wasn't sure if I was going to happen, but there we go. So at Wendy's request, I sent through some selfies there. We're talking about joy today, and there's probably not a lot of joy as an English supporter at the moment, I suspect. But resilience is a big thing in joy. We're going to talk a bit about that later on, actually, about resilience. But anyway, so I had a great evening. My first ever Ashes test attendance. So thanks, Wendy. Now, I think what we'll do is that we'll jump over the next one and we'll sing Once in Royal David's City. And we're just going to sing three verses of this morning. And I often say when we sing carols like Once in Royal David's City, it's a great carol because it tells the big picture of what was happening at Christmas and before, during and after, in a sense. And so look for that in these verses, and indeed as we share in carols, either here or on the telly or wherever we go to hear of the story. So three verses, Once in Royal David's City, as we stand to sing. seated. We hear from Isaiah chapter 35. Thank you. And as Dawn comes forward to read that, Lester, I think, did you make it down to the Anglican Church on Sunday night? I think you were going to. Thanks. Lester kind of represented a lot of us, actually.
Andrew finished up with the carols.
Sorry?
Andrew finished up with the carols.
With the carols, yes. There we go. Excellent. The Anglican Church hosted community carols Sunday night. I was kind of elsewhere, as you can see. So thanks, Lester and Andrew.
They had free drinks and free sausages and lunch.
There we go.
A place for the kids to enjoy the animals.
Yep.
A lady singing all the time. Not Christian stuff.
Yep.
But singing there all the time.
So all before the actual carols, there was a lot of these things going on. Some food and animals. Thanks, Lester. Thank you, Dawn. Isaiah 35.
The road of holiness. The desert will rejoice, and flowers will bloom in the wastelands. The desert will sing and shout for joy. It will be as beautiful as the Lebanon mountains and as fertile as the fields of Carmel and Sharon. Everyone will see the Lord's splendor, see his greatness and power. Give strength to hands that are tired and to knees that tremble with weakness. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue, coming to punish your enemies. The blind will be able to see and the deaf will hear. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert, and the burning sand will become a lake, and dry land will be filled with springs. Where jackals used to live, marsh grass and reeds will grow. There will be a highway there called the Road to Holiness. No sinner will ever travel that road. No fools will mislead those who follow it. No lions will be there, no fierce animals will pass that way. Those whom the Lord has rescued will travel home by that road. They will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. May these words bring us understanding of God's message to us. Amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few brief thoughts on this passage from Isaiah. And as I've mentioned, that the messages during Advent will be a little shorter than what they may have been pre-Advent. So shine the light of joy this Christmas, joy this Christmas. How is joy possible when all around us is saying contrary to that? How is joy possible? Isaiah 35, the passage that Dawn just read, describes a future vision. And it's this that describes a future vision of God's glory, and that it transforms it transforms the current situation, if I could put it that way. So it transforms, and we heard this, so it transforms a barren wilderness into something other. It transforms the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. That this is a renewal that happens, and it's a future thing that's coming. It's a future vision that Isaiah is given here. And ultimately that comes to Zion. Zion is this place of God's presence, of the people of God will flock to. There's a returning to Zion. And the passage concluded with this sense of joy, that this returning will be joyous. And as I mentioned at the start of the service, that joy is one of the key themes that runs through the whole Bible. From the opening chapter in Genesis, there's this There's this sense of joy and goodness to Moses and the people in the wilderness, that despite being in the wilderness, nevertheless they rejoice in God's presence with them. From this passage in Isaiah 35 or Isaiah 51, which is very similar, joy is something that is possible even in the face of desolation and struggle. And this is the Bible's unique perspective on joy, that joy is possible even in the face of desolation and struggle, because it is something that we choose as God's people, recognizing what God has done for us. The Bible Project states that joy is an attitude God's people adopt, not because of happy circumstances, but because of their hope in God's love and promise. And I think that's very crucial as we come to understand joy. Because of God's love and God's promise, we have joy. Not because we feel happy. It's not a feeling of happiness. It's part of it. But maybe it's rather about contentment, maybe a bit closer to it, because of God's love and promise. This is what comes through strongly in these verses from Isaiah and many, many other places, and certainly in the New Testament. Isaiah 34 and 35 are a bit of a pair. They're a bit of a pair because they connect in together. They include both judgment and salvation. So chapter 34, the previous chapter, is about the destruction of certain nations that are opposed to God. And then chapter 35 is this great chapter of the salvation of God's people. The salvation of God's people. And rejoicing fills these verses. Verse 1, rejoice, let the dry ground rejoice, let it blossom as a rose, rejoice. Verse 2, it will blossom abundantly and profusely. And it's a definite thing, like it will. It's certain that the dry ground will blossom. Rejoice with joy. And there's the shouting of joy, the rejoicing. For they see the glory of the Lord. That these, again, this is the promise of God. It's about promises. Weak hands will be strengthened. Wobbly knees will be made strong. And for those who are anxious of heart, there's this word, be strong. Don't fear. Look to your God. God is the God of salvation. The eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be open, the lame will leap as a deer, the tongue of those who are mute will rejoice. It's this transformation. Water bursting forth in deserts, all those kind of images. And including this place, in the place of jackals, there's this reversal. So in a place where there should be fear, it will actually be a resting place. A resting place. And there will be this highway, this holy way, this holy way, as people travel to Zion in rejoicing for what the Lord God has done. It finishes with the Lord's redeemed shall return, and they will come to Zion and with eternal joy on their head. Joy and rejoicing will overtake them, and sorrow and groaning will flee. Now, there's all kind of connections with New Testament here. Jesus invites us to see his ministry as the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah and the assurances of that which is to come, that Jesus is the fulfillment of this and this transformation, this renewal that comes. Earlier I said that joy is not necessarily a feeling, but it's something that we adopt that's chosen, not because of happy moments or situations, but rather because hope and confidence in God's love and promise that's fulfilled in Jesus. The Apostle Paul talks about all kinds of things connected with this. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "We are as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." We are in sorrow. And he was talking about here of his treatment, all the things that happened to him, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. That joy is possible even in the midst of difficulty and struggle. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit as well. Love, joy, peace, etc. I want to finish, if I can find the quote here, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As many of us will know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was this German pastor and theologian who during the Second World War stood up to the Nazi regime and paid for it with his life. He often talked about joy. He wrote lots of letters from prison and lots of different reflections. And here's what he said. And it picks up on this sense that joy is possible even in the moments of deep suffering. He said, "The joy of God has gone through the poverty of the manger, i.e. Christmas, and the agony of the cross, i.e. Easter, and that is why it is invincible, irrefutable. It does not deny the anguish when it is there, but finds God in the midst of it, in fact, precisely there. It does not deny grave sin, but finds forgiveness precisely in this way. It looks death straight in the eye, but it finds life precisely within it. It is this joy that has overcome. It alone is credible. It alone helps and heals." And some of us would recall that extraordinary, beautiful hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As Jenny plays some music, our offering will be received. O God of extravagant mercy, with hands outstretched, you have poured out wonder and delight, goodness and beauty and grace. Enable the offering of this money and indeed our very selves to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, may what we offer you this day bring your hope, your compassion and your help to those both near and far from us. In the name of Christ. Amen. As Wendy comes forward again for this week, so our word of joy, and these are the words that are going up on the board here, and the idea is that gradually the darkness is overtaken by hope, peace, joy and light. And so if you have any words from last week from peace, then I encourage you to put them up if you haven't already. A couple of options this week, just simply the word joy again, that you might like to do that, or this sheet here. Or some other way. as the light comes into the world, which the darkness did not overcome. Thanks, Wendy.
Just before I start, harking back to the quilts that were sent to Traralgon, that is where Heather is now ministering, and she is minister 0.5 for the community and 0.5 for the church, and she also is part of the fig tree worship ministry that sometimes I use as part of my prayers. Please join me in our prayers for others. Lord, as we celebrate the third Sunday of Advent, I reflect on the joy that the children bring when interacting with you. On Thursday, we visited the preschool, Mem Fox, art, joy, laughter. It was lovely. Lord, we pray for the missions that we have chosen to support just prior to Christmas. Kenmore State High School Chaplaincy, Frontier Services, Burke and Wills Remote Area Chaplain Jenny, Frontier Services, Kimberley District and Chaplain Christie, Uniting Care Homelessness, Destiny Rescue and Angel Tree Ministry. May they enrich the lives of those they serve. Lord, we also give thanks for the donations received for the Women's Refuge. We would love not to need this service, but unfortunately, we do. We pray for both the staff and those in need of this service. Christmas is seen as a time to celebrate the birth of Christ, to celebrate family, to celebrate friends. But not for all. We pray for those community members and members of our congregation who attended our blues service on Wednesday. Thank you, David, for leading such a beautiful service. And I miss you, Mum. We pray for those in our congregation who are unwell. We pray for Ian Davidson, Sonia and family. We pray for Bill and Jan and their family. I know just how much Jan had been looking forward to Christmas at Currumbin. Lord, we wrap our arms around you, pray for those families. Lord, there is much unrest in our world. We pray for those who are struggling with war, with discrimination, and with hatred. We pray that our leaders understand that we all need support and we need to support others. Lord, be with David, Jenny and the girls this celebratory season. We thank David for his commitment to our congregation. Let us pray for a Christmas season that sees us celebrate, able to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Love, Wendy and the congregation at Kenmore Uniting Church.
As we prepare for Holy Communion, we stand to sing, Father, we give you thanks who planted. And I think Jenny and Wendy, we might do the first and last verse. Okay, just the first and last. Oh, Father, we give you thanks who planted. We stand to sing. Please be seated. Here the Lord's table is an open table, for this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who want to know him more and to love him more. Come not because I invite you, it is our Lord, it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine, this juice, the ordinary things of the world which God will make special, and we come to God with our prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give our thanks and praise. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these, O Lord, you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just fruit of the vine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, strengthened, and made new again. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, pour out the Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that they may be for us and that we may know Christ's presence real and true. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." Later, he took the cup and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this and drink of it." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, we're not worthy to receive you, but only say the word. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. This morning, the bread and the juice will be brought to you in your seat as we would normally do. If you do not wish to receive this morning, then simply motion for those who are serving you to move to the next person. that we share now, for all is prepared. Body of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. We thank you, God, our Father, that through word and sacrament, you have given us your Son, who is the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service, that our daily living may show our thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand to sing our final hymn this morning, the First Noel. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.